You know, we live in a society where it seems like we are constantly bombarded with toxic messaging and even negative content that really doesn't align with many family values. In fact, I'd go as far to say that it's not even positive. It tends to be negative. Well, the newest podcast from the Must Increase Network, Connection Culture, helps you and your family navigate this media-driven culture that we live in and helps you discover how you can actually use the power of connection to make more meaningful relationships and increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others. And we wanted to showcase this podcast to you this month. So this month, Church Media HQ is on hiatus as we prepare new content for August and beyond. So we're bringing you replays this month, and we're going to be bringing you one replay episode from Connection Culture each week. So if you like what you hear, go subscribe to Connection Culture wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find it on YouTube and Facebook. And let's get right to this replay episode of Connection Culture. Welcome back to Connection Culture. I am your host, Luke Clayton. I'm here with Bo today. We're having another conversation about today's episode will be about cancel culture. We've seen cancel culture happening all over the place, really since the beginning. I mean, it's been happening for a while, but it's really kind of come obvious, more obvious, I guess you should say, you know, since, you know, the beginning of 2021. And so we talk about that today and how we can reject cancel culture, but also do our part to not be a part of it. And that's happening on this episode of Connection Culture. Can we talk about cancel culture without getting super political? Do you think that's possible? Well, because here's why. And honestly, I'll go ahead and set the stage.
Okay.
And I think you actually told me this. You sent me this in a text. Cancel culture is not new. It's only become rampant because the left has gotten a hold of it.
Right.
And in all honesty, I see cancel culture happen on the far left and the far right.
Sure.
And being someone who does identify as on the right, mm-hmm. and so therefore I tend to be more exposed to the far right than maybe the far left.
Sure.
The far right can be pretty bad about it.
Oh, yeah.
About canceling people.
Right.
About, hey, you don't meet our standards, you don't meet our demands. And that is, you know, just a whole mentality kind of philosophy, not to get too deep, but,
right.
you know, if you've got the left and the right, I have found the more extreme you get on either side, the more just one-sided you're becoming, narrow-minded you're becoming, mm-hmm. and the more, I guess, of the mentality, if it's either, I forget how to word this, I've heard people word this in a better way, but basically, if it's good, it should be required, and if we don't think it's good, then it should be illegal, and there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And man, I see it on both sides. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
So that's why I said I don't think it is a political issue. I really don't. I think it is a lot of things, but I think just on the surface, on the kind of the top level, and we can dive deeper, is it's a lack of balance, a lack of perspective. And you hear people say open-mindedness like it's a bad thing, but, you know, like I said, people on the right.
Right.
Being open-minded is not a bad thing.
I'm having a hard time diving in because there's so many different ways or different mm-hmm. angles you could take this from. It's so funny because I think, you know, I don't know if we can talk about this without being political in some way or another. But I'm gonna try.
What I mean by getting political is like, hey, I don't want to come across as condemning exclusively one side or the other.
No.
I see it happening on both sides.
Right. Is I think there's been a huge shift in, you know, people used to take pride in, hey, we're all different, and you're you, and I'm me, and I'm from here, and you're from there, and I talk this way, and you dress that way, and, you know, that's kind of who we used to be as a country, but, mm-hmm. and I'm still this way, you know, I've got, you know, neighbors, people, you, it's like, hey, if you feel a certain way, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lose any sleep over how you feel, or, how, you know, but But now I don't know where it comes from or where it stems from, but so many people, if you don't think just like I do, not only are you wrong, I don't like you anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know where that came from, but there's a certain point where it's like, you know, it's not okay to think differently than me.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, I don't know how deep, you know, you want to go on that or how even deep that goes. But the whole thing when it comes to Christianity is, or maybe not, yeah, is we said this just earlier. We don't debate amongst ourselves. We don't, it's kind of like we think of this. I get fascinated with this. Okay. You've got a mosque, which is Muslim church, a temple of Buddha or whatever, you know, and then you've got like Christianity. We have a unbelievable amount of views in just Christianity itself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you could go evangelical Christian, Catholic, Christ Church, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
denomination.
Yeah.
Which some people are going to just, on the far right, are going to rail against you for lumping in Catholics with Christianity. How dare you?
Yeah, how dare me? Sorry.
But basically you're saying that Christ in some form is at the center of the belief system.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, I have so many deep thoughts here. I'm trying to get them all out at one time. And there's two, I don't know if there's too many in there, that's just within our own religion, but it's maybe it just goes back to that where it's like, hey, if we don't agree on every single thing, I'm going to start my own church. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start my own denomination. I'm going to start my own. It's like, well, you probably didn't have to do that. You probably just could have compromised and say, hey, we can still go to church here. You just think this. And now, obviously, there's some things that are unbelievably different to where, like, hey, I don't pray to Mary, you know, or whatever. Okay,
there's true doctrine.
Yeah,
theology.
There's obviously some things there was, okay, we cannot worship in the same building. That's not going to work, you know. So I think people nowadays they have you can see it when you see the way teenagers dress or whatever. So everybody likes to be different.
Mm-hmm.
They like their hair to be different. They want to have, oh, if you buy that shirt, I'm not going to buy that shirt because I'm not going to buy that dress from Target because you have it.
Yeah, well, and I would argue that they like to think that they're different. They're really not that different.
Yeah.
But
so
that's a whole other thing.
It is. So I don't even know where I'm trying to go with this, but it's just that thing in our circles that we call out big companies, we call out, oh, you're canceling my pillow guy, or you're canceling, you know, which, like the pillow guy, he's a good dude, you know. But it's like, well, you've actually been doing that on a small scale for a long time without thinking twice about it, and you've been guilty of it for a long time.
Yeah.
And once again, this is a bigger discussion, but I think people need to realize, well, you are part of this too. You're just not being called out like these other people are.
Yeah. So. Well, when we talk about cancel culture in relation to the perspective and mission of where we're coming at on connection culture and, you know, must increase, is our whole kind of the big thing we've been emphasizing is that any change is or one of the things that we've emphasized about, but I think one of the things we've discussed is any change that you want to make in anything. In this case, in the way we connect and in our culture, it's not going to happen at the top.
Right.
And in fact, that's the problem, is that we're relying on some type of change to come from the top, which is why we get so bummed when our guy doesn't get elected. And I keep bumping that microphone, which is why we get so bummed when, like I said, our guy doesn't get elected and government doesn't seem to be going our way and whatever.
Right.
But, you know, our point is that any change is going to happen really start on the bottom, and it starts with the people, if you will, with the consumer in this case, with what we're talking about with, like, when we talk about media. Hey, it's going to start with the consumer.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of been one of the big things. It's definitely one of the big things we push, is you need to get behind what you believe in, and you need to have a part in contributing and in creating and in, you know, doing this alternative, you know, in this case, media content and whatever, because if you expect it to come from the top, and whether that's government or from the big studios or big tech, it's not going to, you know? The biggest thing that I think the core of cancel culture and its problem, because again, it does happen on both sides.
Sure it does.
And for those of you on the right out there that are like, you moron, heresy, it does. And it happens in one way or another. And really, cancel culture is at the heart of every natural person. Our natural instinct is justice. Sure. Okay, we see something, whether it is, you know, we can agree, like kids starving, you know, starving kids in Africa. Oh, that's a bad thing. We need to do something about that.
Sure.
Okay, we're like, hey, justice needs to be served, you know, whatever, you know, or some true act of terrorism happens. Okay, justice needs to be served. We all get behind that. We want justice, but sometimes there's this over, I guess it's an out of balance thing where we want so much justice, we forget about the element of mercy. And from a Christian worldview, that is the whole, you know, shift in perspective that happens when you think about Christ, when you think about, you know, we worship a just God who offers great amounts of mercy mm-hmm. and grace. I mean, we've talked about this before. You trace the scriptures and you look at, you know, hey, like especially in the Old Testament, and what were considered God's chosen people, Abraham, Moses, mm-hmm. David, you know, they're all kind of awful people. I mean, Moses killed a man. You know, Abraham, you know, he killed a lot of people too. You know, you know, you see these things throughout, you know, David, he was.
That's your picture perfect character. Yeah.
David was an adulterer, a man of war. Right. And it's like, these are really bad people that honestly would have been canceled, you know what I'm saying, in terms of today.
Right.
So there's this over – there's this – and for me, that's the problem with, like I said, especially when the left gets a hold of this cancel culture mentality, because those on the left, well, they're humanist. Mm-hmm. They're trying to – they already have really pushed God out of society.
Yeah.
And so they are the authority. And there is this idea in the mind of someone who's a humanist that there is some version of humanity that we're going to evolve into that is perfect. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them do. They picture this as the next stage in evolution. Like, hey, we are purifying the what they consider the bad from the culture, you know. And here is, and I'm going to get myself canceled for saying this, but for those out there who think that they can eradicate racism, that's a sensitive topic. So mm-hmm. yeah, here, boom. Connection culture just became a victim of cancel culture. Boom. Yeah. But eradicating racism is impossible.
No.
There's always going to be bad, racist people.
Yep.
It's always going to be there. You're never going to get rid of that.
Right.
Because there will always be bad people. It's the same reason why you'll never eradicate murder.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never completely get rid of, but again, on the left side, there's this utopian mentality that, no, this is achievable.
Right.
And it comes down to, as long as we can get in power, we can just force everybody. We can force everybody to just be good people.
Sure.
Or people that we think are good.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that to me is it's at the core of humanity, really. Yeah. And like I said, from a Christian worldview, it's the fact that, well, when you believe in God, when you believe in Jesus Christ, well, you realize there's an element of that forgiveness.
Yeah.
You do realize, man, there's no hope for me by myself. I have to have Christ.
It's funny you say that, because I get so tired of all these people saying, you know, America was never great, and we've always been this country of conquest, and which that's actually not even true at all. But you know, this is what people just don't understand, and I don't blame them too much. People my age, because I really don't think people are taught history like they were, you know. I don't even want to know what a public school history book or a university history book looks like anymore.
Yeah.
If there's even such a thing. But the entire – since the beginning of man, beginning of time, it doesn't matter how long you think the world has been around, there's always been someone in power. There's always been countries of conquest, whether it was Rome or whether it was – I mean, you know, Britain at one time was kind of the – they owned the whole world practically. You know, not that, you know, Britain was a horrible, you know, kill everyone type of, you know, country or whatever. But the whole you know – topic of slavery and all of this, that everyone that is in this, you know, cancel culture, woke, or whatever you want to call it, they want to act like, okay, all this stuff needs to go away, like it never happened. And what I mean by that is, we're gonna, if you put this logo on your thing, or you say this, or you were involved in this 15, 20 years ago, or whatever, or if this president had two servants in his kitchen, he's a horrible person. It's like, okay, you're never ever going to make evil go away because that's what, okay, I mean, not to, you know, be all cheesy, but the world will always have evil, will always have sin.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're asking for an impossible thing.
Yeah.
You really are asking for that utopia that will not exist until Christ comes back. So this whole thing of, hey, if we just cancel it, it'll go away. It's like, no, it didn't go away. You just kind of made yourself blind to it.
Yeah.
And you can either, I mean, as the old what's-his-face on Lion King said, you can either run from it or you can learn from it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it's kind of a horrible way of saying it, but it's like, get over certain things because all that's doing is hurting you, and it is hurting our future country. I will, you know, I definitely agree with that. But this whole thing of like, there is zero forgiveness on that side. So I think it all kind of ties together. Okay, if George Washington had slaves, you know what? He's probably still a decent guy, and, you know, probably something he did wrong. You know, he probably shouldn't have done that. But don't make us suffer now for that, even though as small as that was. Now I'm just kind of rambling. But you know what I'm saying? I think it's all tied together. I really do.
Yeah, it goes back to the idea that when you do not have a biblical Christian worldview, you believe that perfection in the human race is attainable. You've got this idea, like I said, that one day we will evolve and we will become this utopia. And the woke people, whatever you want to call them, they have convinced themselves that we are there.
Right.
Like we've reached it. You know,
if you act like us, we'll all be fine.
And so, if we could just get everybody to act like us, then, man, our whole society, we will have this utopian society.
Right.
And at the core of that is, again, just this belief that, you know, humanity actually is capable of perfection. But from the Christian world, we know it's
never. Of course
You're born in sin, and you are a sinner. But then the beauty of it is, it's a complete helplessness. It's a complete release of all control of, if you will, your state, you know, is realizing I can't do a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can be as good as I want. I can be as woke as I want. I can change whatever, whatever way I try to get better. But the only answer is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the only answer is salvation. And I think that is, to take it, like I said, back to the right, if you will, because the people on the right tend to be the religious people.
Sure.
And again, we can broaden it from just Christianity, and we can go into, like, you know, start to, you know, kind of trickle into the Mormons, the LDS, and into even Judaism and whatever. Yeah. And the thing that all those have in common is they're some type of religion. Which religion, there's a lot of, you know, it's defined as like a belief system or something. But for me, I define religion as, well, this is basically man trying to be worthy of God. In most cases, most religions, that's what it is. Whether it's a, you know, God, Jehovah God, or Allah, or, you know, multiple gods.
Sure.
That's what a religion is. It's trying to do something to be
for a superior
worthy
power,
of God, you know, and to seek favor in his sight.
Yeah.
And you know, evangelical Christianity, however you want to define it, I actually hate even lumping it in with a religion, because the truth is that at its core, it's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's already been done.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not trying to...
There's several books and authors on, it's not a religion. It's
But see that again, even on the right, the far right can, cause like I said, they tend to cancel, but for different reasons.
Right.
They have this standard of morality that does tend to be based on some type of religious, you know, belief.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can be, and it's usually amongst themselves, but they can be very non-accepting of people because, hey, you don't meet all the standards of what our religion defines makes you favorable with God.
Right. I mean, we can probably all name someone right now very close to us that, you know, let's say they were in a church, something happened, whether it was their fault or not, maybe they couldn't, you know, control it. And how many people in that church, well, they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they can leave, they can go away, they're not welcome here. It's been going on for a long time. And you can call that cancel culture or not, but that's exactly what it is.
And that is, you know.
That was getting down to the nitty-gritty.
I know,
right there.
And
that
we're upsetting some folks. I know we are, but we have to think about that because and this is where I've had discussions with people where they, you know, well, what do we do about, you know, right and wrong? You know, there has to be a standard. There has to be, you know, some morals and what is not. So I'm not saying get rid of morals, get rid of principles and whatnot. But the truth is at the end of the day, we have to realize that, hey, humanity is imperfect. And like I said, from the true Christ, you know, worldview, the only way that you become worthy and the only way that you attain any form of righteousness is by believing in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And again, we're not, that's not the purpose of our content, but
it's
so core to how it shapes your view. Cause like I said, you'll find yourself on the side. And that's what I hate to see, since we are talking about religion, if you will, religion and politics, two things she's never talking about. We're talking about both. You know, when you are, I do hate to see certain churches, denominations, of all kinds, that they do at their core, they have Jesus Christ, faith in Him alone at their core of what they do.
Sure.
But kind of on the exterior, they've made it into a religion. They've made it into, well, yeah, but in order to kind of live a good life and be a good person and to keep God happy, you've got to do all these other things. And I know I'm getting very sensitive with some people out there.
I know, yeah.
But here is the ultimate truth. And again, this is my moment here as being a witness. The ultimate truth is you believe in Jesus and you accept Him, you invite Him into your life. There's no condemnation. Mm-hmm. You are free.
Right.
And you're forgiven of past, present, and future sin. You can murder someone, and it doesn't change your standing with God. And that's hard to swallow and believe.
Sure.
You know, you can be an awful person. You can be bad. You can do really bad things, even after you accept Christ, and you're still forgiven.
Right.
But we have to, once we realize that, and we grasp that, and we say, hey, wait, this is who I am, this is my identity now. Well, you find your desire to do wrong really goes away.
Your heart will be completely.
It's not about you got to follow this list of rules now.
Right.
It's, oh no, I'm a good person now. I've been made righteous in the eyes of God. And so once you claim that and truly claim that identity, then man. Anyways, that's some theology. I know.
No, it's funny you said that because that actually fits exactly into what I was thinking almost like a couple minutes ago. Is, has God ever canceled you?
Expound. It sounds really good.
I'm just going to drop the mic and leave. I mean, no. It's that's one way of thinking of it. Is once again, I don't think a lot of people have quite understood. They've been kind of part of this for a long time, so I'm not trying to make them feel guilty or at fault. But there's so many times, and the Bible is also full of this. Is like old King David. Hey, how dare that person tell me who he is? And it's like, well, you're the man, David. You're the one that's been doing this. So. I mean, how many times in the Bible or just in our own personal lives, no matter what you did, no matter what you've been guilty of, God never canceled you. He never said one of my favorite things, or I don't know if it's a little quote or what, it's a verse, I think, is, no, it's actually, I think it's just a quote, is if you ever find yourself, wander from God, you're the one that walked away.
Hmm.
He's always right there. He's always walking in a straight line. You're the one that went off, and then you got to come back, So just another, kind of a little piece of that puzzle, the cancel thing, is there's people that, to me, it's just funny. A lot of people take pride in, oh, I haven't talked to that person, and I've canceled, I got rid of, that certain pastor, I don't agree with his work. I wouldn't touch his work with a...
They take pride in parting ways being divisive.
They take pride in that. Yeah. And it's like, that is a pit right there. That is a terrible... I mean, I understand that if there are certain things that, okay, this is necessary to... I understand that. But I think it's gotten so petty. It's like, how many people can I disagree with? It's like, you know what? Get over yourself.
Yeah.
Who are you to say just because that person disagrees with you, just because they didn't go to the same college you went to, or maybe they didn't go to college at all? It doesn't matter. But it's this whole thing, this cancel culture, it goes so deep into who we are, what we've been a part of, and the only reason that we're upset is, well, it's these big tech companies. Like, no, this goes on a small scale, been going on for a long time, and if you want to fix it, you can be a part of being fixed.
Yep. And so I guess for me, the call to action to those out there, especially if you're listening and you're a believer, is realize I do love the way God never canceled you.
Yeah.
You know, he'll never leave you or forsake you. I mean, if you've accepted Christ, then, you know, you are forgiven. You still fail probably on a daily basis. And God is still, he loves you. He's crazy about you. Nothing has changed. Doesn't matter what you do, what you don't do. Nothing changes. He's not going to cancel you. He's not going to get rid of you.
Right.
And I think that's just a reminder. Like you said, I mean, how often do we just cancel someone, if you will, in our life? You know, hold a grudge or, she said this, I'm upset, you know. Like you said, getting on the church leadership level. Like, well, that pastor over there, he did something I don't agree with. So we're done, you know. And there's this whole mentality of, well, you got to draw a line in the sand and whatever. And what I always find funny about this draw a line in the sand, it's like, why do we say sand? Because, like, I feel like, well, okay, well, I can get rid of that line pretty easily. You know,
I can move
it. I always feel like it's pretty
draw a line in the rock or draw a line
we're going to draw it in cement and let it dry. I don't know if there's a better way to say it, but you know, we got to stand for what's right. But here's the truth again for believers, at the core of what is really right and what is really wrong, just think about it. Think about it. This is a statement that I heard. You're going to know who said it. That they will do anything short of sin to reach people for Christ.
Sure.
And man, that hit really different about the third or fourth time I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really ask yourself that question, wait, according to the scripture, is this sin? It's like, there were things, it's like, I really had to think about it. Things mm-hmm. that I'd been taught were, I should stay away from, I shouldn't do, or, and I'm not even talking about bad things. I'm not going to get specific. And it's like, well, wait, is that really sin? Is that really something that's wrong? And maybe ask yourself that question about other people. Like, did what they just do, did they really just do something really wrong? And even if the answer is yes,
mm-hmm.
okay, will the sun rise tomorrow? Will this affect my life in a massive way? Honestly, we could say 5 years from now, 1 year from now, 6 months from now, 1 week from now, or even 1 day from now. A lot of times we get down to, oh yeah, in a day, we'll forget about this.
Yeah.
You know, you'll definitely forget about it in a week or a year or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so, I don't know. For me, that would be what I would challenge, especially if you're a believer listening, is realize you want to see cancel culture stop, then truly be like Christ and don't cancel people on your level and don't let it be a part of anything. Yes, I hate to see it on the left. I do. I hate to see it. The woke. It's becoming
running rampant.
It's becoming idiotic and stupid on so many levels. And yes, I know. Well, you don't understand. Look, there's a big agenda out there. It's a bigger thing here. Okay, sure.
I love how Luke turns into a Southern gentleman every time. I draw a line in the sand. Like I tell you, they got an agenda. Like, who's this guy from? It's his alter.
I was born in Alabama, raised in Tennessee.
That is true.
It comes out sometimes.
That is true.
You've got to. You say, well, it is about something bigger and whatever. But again, the change, if you're counting on, you know, Washington, D.C. to be the great change, the great revival of America, well, you know, that when you say it out loud, you realize how stupid that is to put your hope there. And the same thing with these big companies and these, you know, studios. If you just expect, you know, Disney or Universal to just start putting out faith-based movies and start putting out movies that, you know, actually don't, you know, have this left bend to them.
Mm-hmm.
You're living in a fictional world. It's never going to happen.
Right.
And so any change is going to happen at your level. You're going to have to realize, what is worth canceling people over in my own personal life or in, you know, those I interact with in my community, in my church, whatever. Because at the end of the day, cancel culture, I really think, is just about power. People mm-hmm. just want control,
yep.
and they just want to be able to. Because really, think about it, man. I mean, at our core, I want everything to go my way.
Sure,
I do.
That's
you
our
know?
Sin. That's our
I
nature.
Want people.
That's what we
I want.
Want
everything to be just perfect for me, never inconvenient, because everything's going my way, and that gives us control. And I tell you this, I have really over the past year or so been taught a great lesson in releasing control. And basically, if control what you truly can control, Not what you think you can control, what you truly can control, which at the end of the day is like, well, me.
Yeah.
You know? And then like,
sometimes I can control me.
Yeah. And yeah. And then just let everything else go. And when it comes to people, that's why, again, the top, they do want control. Whether they're on the right or the left, they want control.
Sure they do.
They want to just force their ideology down on people. That's not going to work. It's not how people operate. And so, again, it starts at the bottom. It starts on your level as just an everyday citizen of America, citizen of the world, okay. Consumer. You have to just realize this cancel culture. Yeah, it's messed up, but don't have a part in it on any level.
Right.
Bo, thanks again for being with us on this episode, and thank you for watching or listening. We do hope that you'll take a moment to share this, because if it is valuable to you, then there's a good chance it's going to be valuable to a friend or someone you know. Connection Culture is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by our man, Bo Snyder. Show notes are developed by Nash Mead. The executive producer and host is myself, Luke Clayton. And until I see you next time, remember, get involved, get behind what you believe in, have a part in creating content, not just watching it, listening to it, reading it, actually have a part in contributing. That's why we are so, we always encourage you to share, because that is just a simple way that you can contribute, getting positive content like this out there for others to see. Because what you're going to find is that it is so much more fulfilling to be a creative contributor than to be a mindless, constant consumer. We'll see you next time right here on Connection Culture.